1 Timothy 6:11, 12, I'm going to read from the Message, thank you, says, "But you, Timothy, man of God, run for your life from all of this. Pursue a righteous life, a life of wonder, faith, love, steadiness, and courtesy. Run hard and fast in the faith. Seize the eternal life, the life you were called to, the life you so fervently embraced in the presence of so many witnesses." Your number one calling is to walk out the eternal life that's been given to you. That is your call. Each and every one of us has the exact same call, and that is to take what the Lord's given us, eternal life, and to run with it and bring as many people alongside us to our finish line as possible. That's what we're called to. Now, the next biggest question tends to be how. How do I walk out this calling in my life? So that's what we're going to focus on tonight. So many people assume callings are associated with a ministry platform, that if you are going to be in the ministry, you have to be on a church stage, a convention stage, preaching, and that is the ultimate calling. But the ultimate calling is walking out the assignment that the Lord's put on your life to fulfill that call that we just talked about. So each and every one of you has the exact same call, and that is to walk out this eternal life he's given you. Now, your assignments are different. Each of you are going to walk that out differently because you each have an assignment on your life. And so that's the specifics we'll talk about. But get out of your thinking that the only ministry is associated with a microphone on a stage somewhere. Your life is a ministry. You are called to the ministry. Each and every person here is called to the ministry because the ministry is walking out your calling and sharing it with as many people as possible, no matter what you're doing. If you're in school, if you're at the supermarket, if you're at Six Flags this summer, everything you do is an open door, an open invitation to minister to others. And that's what your call is. I was thinking recently of different assignments that people have had on their life, different jobs, I guess you could say. Think about politicians. If we didn't have any form of government, and I think we could go and debate this for a while, so we're not going to go there. But this nation was founded on God. It took the first presidents of the United States to come together and to form one nation under God. It took men of God with the ability to govern people to establish that for us. Without that, we would not have what we have today. And so that is a specific assignment on their life. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, all the inventors and politicians, they all have this gift. And it's what they use that gift for that makes the greatest impact. If they tried to be a doctor, if they tried to be an athlete, but they were called to be a politician or called to be an inventor, we wouldn't have what we have today because they failed at their assignment. Another one I was thinking about today is the Wright brothers. Do you know who they are? Yes. Where would we be without the airplanes? Could you imagine inviting your friend over by sending a messenger on horse to their house and asking, could you come hang out with me today? And then have to send a message back. I can't yet. Mom says I have to finish my homework. And then you send a message back. Okay, well, how about tomorrow? That wouldn't work with our communication today. If your text message delays 30 seconds, you're already freaking out. Why haven't you responded? We were talking just fine, and now there's a delay, so why aren't you responding? We have this technology at our fingertips. Someone invented that. We went from paper or smoke signals to this device right here that we rely on so heavily for everything that we do. Left my cell phone at home the other day, and you wouldn't imagine the kind of things that were just filling up my notifications when I got home. You'd think the world would end, that people couldn't get a hold of me for 7 hours. But just, I am think back when I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't have a cell phone until I was 18. And it took a car accident where I was by myself and my family was out of town. And I had to climb up into the fire truck before they put me on the stretcher to call my dad. And they didn't answer the home phone. So then we had one cell phone that circulated in our family. So then I called that. They didn't answer. So I left a message. Hey, I was in a car accident. I'm going to be at the Bremerton Harrison Hospital. If you need to find me, I'll probably be in the emergency room somewhere. Just wanted to let you know where I'm at. So it was that situation that got me a cell phone. But I was 18, and you know what? My cell phone wasn't this thin. It wasn't this cool. It was really big and bulky. It had these big numbers on it. Had the ridiculous ringtone that you want to silence because it sounded that cool. 18. And I have friends with kids that are 9 and 5 asking for cell phones for Christmas. Or the latest iPhone. Or I didn't get my iPhone until I was 28 years old. Bravo. I caved. But that's not my point. It's talking about the different things we have. But life existed before all of this. But it exists for our benefit if we use it for our benefit. And these people use their gifts and abilities. I can hardly program my phone with numbers, let alone program it to work for a company. But there's someone out there, and God bless those technology people, that can figure all this stuff out. And so that is an assignment on someone's life, is to fulfill something with technology. I was thinking about businesses. Sam Walton started off with this tiny little grocery store, just a little country store. And it turned into Walmart and turned into Sam's Club. Where would we be without Walmart? Where would Walmart be without us? I know. I'm right there with you. But for the sake of example, we're using Walmart. Or Chick-fil-A. I wouldn't have had lunch today if Chick-fil-A wasn't around. I mean, I might have eaten, but it was a lot faster than my other options. Or Hobby Lobby. There's business owners out there. Chick-fil-A is a Christian-owned business, but they're not just open for Christians. But if you walk in there, you can feel the love of the people. They have the best customer service of any fast food restaurant I've ever walked through the doors of. They train their people to love people, to serve people. And it's Christian values that have it, but they serve anyone that walks through those doors. The owner of Chick-fil-A decided, you know what, I'm supposed to be a pastor instead. I'm not going to open this. This business has an assignment on it. It's touched many lives. And so not to belittle the different assignments that people have, but don't compare yourself to the other people because you weren't called to be another person. You were called to be you. And when you try to be someone else, your assignment's going to sit over here waiting for you to say yes to it. Another one, athletes. You hear a lot of people tease how they make too much money and they do nothing for it. But I see some of these athletes out there that have a voice. And it's not to belittle their gifts or their talents because they work hard at what they do. They treat their training like a job. They work just as hard as someone else from a 9-to-5, only it's on more physical abilities. And take Tim Tebow, for example, with football. Or there's Josh Hamilton with baseball. You have these well-known athletes that now have a platform to have their voice spoken from. And that's an opportunity for them to minister to people that they wouldn't have had if they decided, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and go to college and become a lawyer. But instead, they pursued what the Lord asked them to do. There's a couple Olympians I've followed over the last couple years. Ryan Hall's a marathon runner. And he said, my best form of worship is doing what God's called me to do. That is your best form of worship. Your life is worship. It's not just worshiping with a band for 4 songs and then sitting down, worship's over. Your life is worshiping the Lord. Everything you do should be glorifying and responding to him. And so whatever he's given you as a gift, using it is your response to him. And that's your best form of worship. Gabby Douglas is an Olympic gymnast, and she said in an NBC interview, I give all the glory to God. It's kind of a win-win situation. The glory goes up to God, and the blessings fall down on me. And that's the bottom line. No matter what we do in our life, we are called to glorify God in everything that we do. Everything. From brushing our teeth, to emptying the dishwasher with a good attitude, to saying yes, ma'am, when you're given an assignment, to respecting the speaker when you're sitting in your seats right now. Everything you do is a response to God and to glorify him. And if you can't give him glory in it, you probably shouldn't be doing it. And so when you have an assignment, and it could be something as big as you are called to be a missionary, or you are called to be a professor, or today this is your assignment. Your assignment is to do your chores, to finish your homework, and to be nice to your brother. That's a pretty good assignment. And if you can't finish that assignment, you shouldn't be looking for another assignment. You need to be able to complete the assignment that you're given today to prove that you can be given more assignments for tomorrow. If you want to be a missionary to Africa, then come to our outreach days that go to Newark. Because if you can't serve Newark, what makes you think you can go to Africa? Oh, but it's hot here. It's hotter there. Oh, but I'll get dirty. They don't have plumbing in those places that most missionaries go in Africa. But we think it'd be so much cooler and a much more, what's the word? Memorable experience. But if you can't be faithful with what you have now, you should not be looking for more because you haven't proven your first step. So assignments aren't just about finding out this big assignment for my life. It's identifying, what am I supposed to do today? What are you telling me to do tomorrow? And the next day, and the next day. And every step of the way, you're going to look back and see that you're walking out the calling that he's asked you to. He doesn't always give you the big picture all at once. He asks for obedience, and that's trusting him one step at a time. Let's talk about your calling for a minute. I mentioned earlier, our callings are the exact same as the one sitting next to you. One, we're all called children of God. You are identified as a child of God, and he calls you his own. You can see that in 1 John 3:1-2. Number two, we're all called to serve him and love others. Let's turn with me to Matthew 22:37. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based out of those two commandments." So we are called to love him and to love others. And only by loving him and receiving his love can we then fully love someone else. And it's easy to love the lovely, but he didn't just love the unlovely. He didn't just love the lovely, he loved the unlovely. And that's where your love walk is tested, is your ability to love someone who's not loving you. But that's what he came to do and set the example for us, and we have the ability to do. And the third one is we're called to live a life of freedom and called to serve. Galatians 5:13. "For you have also been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up as this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." That's what you're called to. Love God, love people, live in freedom, and serve others. That's a calling for each and every person in this room. Now, God identifies you as his child. When you love him and when you're serving others, you're going to see fruit in your life. Everything you do produces a result, whether it's good or it's bad, whether it's life or it's death. Every choice, every action produces results. And so your fruit should be pointing people back to Jesus by glorifying him and expanding our family of believers. That is a direct result of your walking out your calling every day. Romans 1:2-7 says, and this is the message, "The sacred writings contain preliminary reports by the prophets of God's Son. His descent from David's roots him in history. His unique identity as Son of God was shown by the Spirit when Jesus raised him from the dead. This set him apart as Messiah, our Master." And this is what I want to focus on. "Through him, we received both the generous gift of his life and the urgent task of passing it on to others who receive it by entering into obedient trust in Jesus. You who are through Jesus have this gift and are called of Jesus Christ." So although your calling is the same, you have a different assignment. And that's how you're going to walk this out, is you've all received this gift of life, and you are asked to pass it on to others as you trust in Jesus. And so this part I want to focus on most tonight is your calling, your specific calling. And this is where it gets different. Turn with me to Ephesians 2:10. "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." How many of you have been to a museum or seen a work of art before? Now there's copies, there's fraud. People try to replicate things, but that's what it is a replica, but it's not the original. Each and every one of you are an original design. You're unique to yourself. I've used the twins as examples before. Bethany and Brooke may be twins, but they're not the same person. They have different personalities. They have different likes. They have different dislikes. They have a lot of similarities, but they are still different and unique and have different assignments on their life. And so as similar as they are and have a different calling on their life, not calling assignment, you have the same. There's something specific that only you can do because you were designed, created a specific way to follow through with a specific assignment. And you were made to be able to do that. He equips the called. So he's made you a certain way for a certain reason. And so many times we start picking ourselves apart. I don't like this and I wish I could do that. Start focusing on what you can do. Start focusing on the gifts and the abilities he's given you. I used to get so down, especially in college, when my friends were nursing majors, teaching majors, art majors, singing majors, and they all came out on the other side as teachers, as nurses, as worship leaders. They had these tangible gifts. And I was like, what does a communications major do? They communicate. And I would get so frustrated with myself at my lack of talent. And I started to see that I was placing a label on everyone else and excluding myself and not identifying the gifts that the Lord's given me. And I look back on all the different training that I've had along the way, and it might not be as obvious as going in to get an education degree and coming out being a first grade teacher. But as you follow the path that he's given you, plath, I sound like Pastor Greg. Plath. I did that. Yep, I did. You can tell him. All right. As you follow the path that he's given you, you're going to be able to look back and see that it's not going to look like others, but your results aren't going to look like others. And so today, if you've been comparing yourself to your friends, especially as you go into high school and you have to plan out colleges, or you just graduated and you're looking where to go, do I just go into the ministry? Do I go into trade school and learn an actual task, an ability, like doing hair or computer science? Or do I go to college for 4 years and spend time studying for something that I hope to do in 5 years? Your path is not going to look the same because your destination is not going to look the same. And the people you're supposed to reach are not going to be the same. So don't try to be someone else. Be yourself and identify yourself as a masterpiece and embrace who he has you today. Don't get to college like I was and wonder, am I doing the right thing? Is this even worth it? My dad used to call, I got your cell phone bill, Jen. Really? Yeah, I'm going to need you to talk less and study more. Yes, sir. And that was if I answered, because I was taking a nap probably. So then if I did answer, he was like, oh, good, you're not sleeping. Okay, well, see, I've noticed based on your cell phone bill and your lack of answering the phone that you're either sleeping or talking too much. And I was like, but Dad, I got an A in social life. He was like, that doesn't count, Jennifer. I'm not paying for your social life. Well, Dad, I'm a communications major. I'm practicing. It didn't work out real well. Honor your father. So I said, yes, sir. Won't tell you how much my first bill was at college. However, I had to embrace that I am a communicator. And I look back and I learned quite a few things that have allowed me to be a better communicator. And so don't belittle the abilities that he's given you, thinking they're not as glorious as your friend or not as popular as someone else. You were created for a specific assignment, and the time you embrace that and start that is the time you're going to be most effective. The next scripture I want to look at is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. He has a plan for you, a specific plan. He delights in every single detail of your life. That's every little plan that leads to the bigger plan, that leads to the bigger plan, that leads to the plan. He delights in every single step along the way. And he's there to tell you about it and to talk to you about it, but he needs you to be listening. He needs you to be willing to start the race. He set out a race in front of every single one of you. The day you were born, assignment was placed on your life. The enemy knew about it, and from the day you were born, the enemy has been trying to stop you from that assignment. And so it's up to you to say, am I willing to do this? Am I ready to do this? Because only you can do what he's asked you to do. And it makes a choice that you have to be willing to start. It says in 2 Timothy 2:21, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a utensil God can use for his purpose. Your life will be clean and you'll be ready for the master to use for every good work. How many of you have done the dishes before? How many of you have set the table, dinner table, breakfast table? All right, so if I'm telling my child to go set the dinner table, are they going to go into the sink and grab the dirty dishes and then go put them out onto the table? Ever emptied the dishwasher when it was dirty and put it all away only to have mom say, that was actually dirty, not clean? And then you're like, well, we might as well throw the whole silverware drawer back in there because now it's all intermingled. Those utensils are not ready to use because they need to be cleaned off. So yes, they can be used and they will be used, but they're sitting there unusable because that's disgusting. It just is. It just is. But if you go to the dishwasher that's clean, or you go to the cabinet with the clean dishes, those are ready to use, set them on the table, we can eat dinner now. What does this have to do with my calling and assignments? Because you have to be ready for the Lord to use you. I can't tell you how many times I hear people say, well, I'm not quite ready yet. I have a few things I want to do. Or I made this mistake and I need to clean my life up and then I can go help other people. Yes, you do need to check your heart and you need to repent and ask for forgiveness if there's things that you have done wrong. But you can do it that quick. Snap of a finger. Repentance doesn't take days and months and weeks. That's called condemnation. And the moment you repent and turn, repent is a 180, turn from it, you're on the track. You're ready to start. But you have to be willing and be ready to start. And sometimes it takes an acknowledgement. Okay, where do I want to be? How do I get there? Okay, so there might be a few things I need to do. And that's when you take care of them right away. Just like a garden. If you decide to just weed once a year, it is going to be a huge task. But if you go out every couple days, once a week, and you pick out the few weeds, it's not that big of a deal. But if you wait the whole year, it becomes a huge chore, a huge task. It's overwhelming, and you don't even want to do it. And sometimes that's how sin is. You don't deal with it, and it's growing, and it's growing, and it's growing, and pretty soon you're like, no, don't cut them out of my life. Well, you just probably shouldn't have hung out with them to begin with at the level of which you've been hanging out with them. I'm not saying don't associate with people that aren't Christians, because how else are you going to bring people in the kingdom? But if 99% of your time is spending with people trying to bring them up, essentially you're going to probably be brought down. You have to have people bringing you up, people you're walking with, and people you're bringing up with you. And when you have those levels of balances of friendship, you're not going to be pulled all the way one way where you're like, oh, I'm better than everyone else because I'm saved and I know the word of God and I would never say that kills me or I'd die if I had that. When you pick on people that use words that you don't, they're not educated like you are. They need someone to come alongside them and to love them despite what they do or don't know. But you have to identify what's in my life right now that might need to be weeded out a little bit so that I can move on and be a utensil to use and not let it be your excuse to not do anything. Just like the runners on the starting block. Oh, I didn't have lunch yet. I think I'm going to go eat real quick. My stomach hurts. You know what? I'm going to wait for my stomach to stop hurting, and then I'm going to run this race. Or you know what? My hamstring kind of hurts. Well, I actually have seen them stop the race because they say their hamstring hurts. Anyone see the Michael Johnson video? Anyway. So there's always an excuse of why not to do something. So because there's always going to be one, you have to be determined to just start. To let the excuses go. If there's something you need to deal with it and move on. Don't let that be the excuse to delay. It says in Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, I'm reading the message again. In light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run. On the road, God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for others in acts of love, alert and noticing differences and quick at mending fences. Focusing on, I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. If you aren't living on purpose, you're not going to accomplish what you were created to accomplish. You have to be living on purpose. And the time to start is now. It says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed. He wants everyone to have an opportunity to repent. That's why he's not here yet, is we're not ready for him. There's people out there who don't know about him because we most likely haven't been obedient to tell them about him. And so instead of being in our little comfort zones, he's asking us to get out of our comfort zone and to go be bold like he was and to be the light to the darkness that we have out there. The song we sang tonight, the second one, says, God, let your kingdom reign. Let all the earth proclaim. God on earth, let your kingdom reign. That's what we're here for, is to let God be known and to let his kingdom reign here with all of us. You're a child of God, and he's adopting. Family is open for members. He's just saying, what are you waiting for? Why aren't you doing anything about it? The world is waiting for you to start. The world is waiting for you to say yes to your assignment, to get off the starting blocks, and to run your race. And it's until you start, and until you start to move, can someone follow you. If you stay at those starting blocks, no one can follow. It takes a leader stepping out, getting in front of everyone else, and walking confidently towards the goal, and that's what someone can follow. Not someone who's questioning whether or not they should even get on the starting blocks. But each and every one of you know that you're called. You all know that you're capable. It's just whether or not you're bold enough to say yes and to then start. It says in Proverbs 4:25, and this is my challenge for you. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. There's a path for each and one, every one of you. Can say plath, path, and plan. You both have both of those, path and plan. There's a plan laid out in front of you, and there's a path to get you there. And it takes you saying yes and your willingness to start. And this is a simple thing. It doesn't take finding out this big 20-year plan. You hear people say, what's your 5-year plan? What's your 10-year plan? What's your 20-year plan? And it usually is followed by graduate high school, get married, have kids. Typical. And those are all great things. But once you get married and once you have the kids and then the kids leave the house, there's still a plan for your life. There's still a call on your life. It doesn't end when you're married. It doesn't end when you have kids. It doesn't end when they move out of the house. It doesn't end when there's grandchildren. Those are all great benefits to your life. But that is not your only assignment. And so that's why now, just because you have those desires doesn't mean that you can't be fulfilling other assignment on your life, waiting for those things to happen. Because if you put conditions on those, if I said, I'll start in the ministry when I get married. Okay. So then the last 7 years since college, I would just be sitting, twiddling my thumbs, being like, when my husband comes, I can then go into the ministry. Then I can buy a house. Then I can get a car. Then I can go do this and go do that. There is nothing in this word that says, wait for this and then go do that. Wait to get married. You have to have a degree to do this. It's obeying the Lord. That's the plan. What he tells you to do and whether or not you do it determines whether or not you're going to succeed at the assignment he's given you. Each and every one of you has a purpose. And if the band could come up. Your purpose is simple. Lined it out in the beginning. It's to love God and love others. And when you're doing that, that's where you're going to find the biggest fulfillment in your life. Not just waiting for these milestones of getting married, having kids, getting the dream job, going on the dream trip. Those are all great and exciting things. But when you're walking out your call and being obedient to the assignment on your life, that's when you're going to find fulfillment. That's when you're going to find the void filled that you've been wondering, why doesn't this just feel complete? Why don't I feel like it's good enough? Because we try to find all these other things to fill up our lives instead of just doing what he's asked us to do. Are you willing? Are you ready? If you're willing but you don't think you're ready, we can take care of the ready right now. It does not take much. It takes a quick repentance of whatever that is that you feel like is holding you back. Or if you don't know the Lord, that's a real quick fix. That's the best decision, and that's the most needed start in your life is a relationship with him. And once you have that, and once you repent, you are on the track, ready to do the starting blocks, ready to start your race. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, there's some of you in here tonight, when I said, are you ready? You thought, no, ma'am, I'm not. And when I said, why? You're thinking, well, there's this and there's this and there's this. And I've repented for it, but it keeps plaguing my mind. I keep thinking about it. I feel guilty over it. That's not the Lord. The Lord's a gentleman, a loving God. And he wants you to repent of it, but he's not here to hold it over your head. And so if there's something that you did or said or thought that is causing you to stumble, holding you back from starting your race, the Lord wants you to lay that down tonight. It says, lay off the weight that so easily holds you back so that you can run and finish the race. And so if that's you tonight, if you have a weight on you, a burden on you, fear and anxiety, the Lord wants to break that off of you. And I don't want to make a spectacle of you, but I want to pray with you. And so if that's you tonight, please raise your hand with me. If you can't be bold in here, you're not going to be able to be bold out there. I see those hands. Now repeat after me. Lord, forgive me for the sin of my past. I repent. I turn from my ways. And I choose to follow you. I'm not who I was. I'm a child of the Most High. I answer the call. I receive my assignment. And I'm ready to start my race. And there's another group of you who may or may not have asked the Lord into your life yet. You may have not started your relationship with him. And maybe you did, but you let it go because you've let other priorities come before him. And tonight, he wants you to be free from that. That life without him. He wants to walk with you. He wants to run with you. He wants to be next to you on this race. And so if you're here tonight and you want to recommit your life to Christ, or you haven't committed your life to Christ and you want to do it for the first time, I'd love to lead you in a prayer with me. So if that's you, if you would raise your hand, no one's looking around. No one wants to embarrass you. The Lord just wants to run a race with you. So if everyone would repeat after me, Lord, I commit my life to you. I acknowledge that you died and rose again so that I might have eternal life. I repent from my ways and I choose a life after you. Thank you for making me new. In Jesus' name, amen.